The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk.
The Spanish government has agreed with the World Health Organization to allow passengers from the cruise liner MV Hondius to disembark at the Canary Islands, sparking concern among locals about possible infection by that hantavirus. Are they right to be concerned? Well, to allay or spark our fears, I'm joined now by Luke O'Neill, Professor of Biochemistry at Trinity College in Dublin. Should I be worried, Luke?
No, Pat, you shouldn't be worried.
Okay. End off.
Unless you're on that cruise ship, of course, because that's where it is, you know. No, I mean, there's 8 cases, 3 deaths. There are obviously 3 tragic deaths have happened, you know. Only 8 people affected by this, you know, and the big fuss in the media, I guess, is partly a hangover from the pandemic, isn't it, Pat? We're looking at viruses.
I mean, I presume that from time to time you do get bugs running through cruise ships.
All the time. Cruise ships are very confined, as you know, spaces. You're in close contact with lots of people. Norovirus is the famous one, but that winter vomiting bug that can spread through a cruise ship and infect everybody because it's such a confined space. And that's what's happened here, really, you know. Now, it's a strange enough virus, hantavirus. It's quite hard to catch, first of all. It's in South America is where they picked it up, it looks like. And you know how they caught it, Pat? It's interesting how it was caught. There were bird watchers on this ship.
Yeah.
And they went ashore and went to dumps. Bird watchers often go to, you know, dumps, because lots of birds are scavenging.
Yeah.
And guess what's in dumps, Pat? Rats, you see. So it looks like, unfortunately, 2 Dutch people were infected by rats in a dump, got back on the ship, enclosed space, and they began spreading it. That seems to be what's
now,
happened.
One presumes that the rats live with the hantavirus. In other words, they don't die from it. They thrive.
They do,
while
yeah.
carrying the hantavirus.
Now, I've looked it up. It's an obscure area, Pat, this, by the way. I looked it up yesterday. There's about 5,000 publications only on it. There'll be hundreds of thousands in my area, for example, you know. Yeah, there's about 40 different hantaviruses, 20 can infect rats and humans. And yeah, rats live with it. It's called a zoonotic infection, pain. Now that term, which means it jumps from an animal into a human.
Now, that might happen, and it does happen. Things like brucellosis, for example, in cattle, can jump into vets, in fact, famously were susceptible to it. But that doesn't mean that they will give brucellosis to their nearest and dearest.
No, that's right. Now, the funny one here, Pat, is one of the hantaviruses, it's called Andes, because the sense that can spread between humans. It's the only one that spreads between humans. And pretty quickly, they identified it as the Andes strain of hantavirus. And that was done probably a day into this.
There was concern that it might be some sort of new virus that had different characteristics.
Yeah, it was good to be cautious initially, because maybe it had changed in some way and was more infectious and dangerous. But pretty quickly they realised, now this has been around for decades, it's endemic in South America, this particular Andes strain,
okay.
You know. But it does jump between humans. Now, very importantly, it's very hard to catch off another human. It looks like it was a couple who shared a cabin, infected each other, and the doctor got infected, Pat, on the ship, because he was obviously caring for these people. Now he hasn't died, he's got pretty mild symptoms, but it's quite
now, that might
quite
tell us something about incubation, because the doctor only came across them when they became sick.
Yep.
So he was tending to them for a few days, I presume.
That's right. Yeah. So, there's a strange feature of this as well, Pat. It takes weeks to emerge. You pick up the rat droppings, you inhale them, is the main way, by the you inhale an aerosol from rat droppings, right? And then it's in your body, but the symptoms don't start for maybe 2-3-4 weeks later. We'd love to know why that is. It lies dormant in your body. So therefore, it's going to take a few weeks to sort this out, because they've got a contact trace. Remember that phrase, Pat, contact tracing?
Yeah.
They're connecting with everybody who came in touch with these people.
So somebody who got off the cruise ship at one of the earlier ports of call, got on the plane, they were sitting beside passengers being tended to by air stewards and so on.
Yeah, that's right. Well, there's a woman in Alicante who was on a flight with one of the people who left the cruise ship and went to South Africa. She was very sick, right? This woman got off the plane, and this woman then turns out to have symptoms. Now, it hasn't been confirmed yet if it is Hanta, but it could be, because if you're stuck on a plane for hours with someone beside you coughing all over you, there's a chance you might pick up the virus. And there's a second case, Pat, on Tristan da Cunha, of someone got off the ship. They may have passed it on to a man. His symptoms look like Hanta, but neither of those have been confirmed to be Hanta yet.
Now, the cruise ship is making its way to the Canaries and will arrive there tomorrow, and they're going to talking about a field hospital on the dock or whatever. There's precious little risk to the Canarians.
No, and have you seen the headlines, Pat? As I was waiting to come on, I picked up the Star outside the studio here. They're calling it the rat plague ship, this kind of thing, you know. Well, now you need to be, obviously a bit of caution is justified, sure. Because if there are people on that ship, they may well pass it on to someone else, but only in extremely close context. That's unlikely. And because the times we live in, Pat, and the fear around this, these people would be isolated, including our 2 Irish citizens, remember this. None of those have symptoms. Nobody else has symptoms at the moment on on the cruise ship.
And let's hope it stays that way. But they have to be allowed to quarantine for so many days to make sure it's not dormant and about to erupt. Now, when was the hantavirus first identified?
Yes, it's interesting, Pat. It was in the Korean War. It was the first time they see symptoms. 3,000 people in that war, Pat, around the same time, came down with symptoms that now has looked like it was hanta. You get lung involvement. There's various features of the disease. And then in 1976, again in Korea, they identify the virus. And that's the first time we see the hantavirus, named after the Hansan River, which is in Korea. So that's when it's named in 1976.
So you'd imagine in the Korean War, trench warfare,
that's it.
Rats.
That's exactly where you catch it most of all, Pat, is actually on farms, right? Because there's loads of rats, and especially if the rats are like crazy, they're breeding, and a farmer might in a barn might come up against a rat. Secondly, absolutely in trench warfare, because, and in fact, they reckon, looking back, Pat, it was probably in the First World War from the symptoms that were reported. There were people picking up hantavirus in the trenches.
Did you mean that, you know, we talk about the so-called Spanish flu, which wasn't from Spain at all, as you and I have discussed before. But it might have been hanta.
It could have been hanta. Yeah, they reckon it goes back hundreds of years, to be honest, looking at the symptoms that were described. Because if you're in a trench pad, very close quarters, full of rats, and you're going to pick up the aerosol off the rats. And then in 1976, another outbreak in Korea, and then someone isolated the virus and identified it.
Now, where it is endemic, what sort of death rates do we get every year in the South American countries,
well,
for example?
This is why it's not serious at all, Pat, right? So Argentina, about 100 cases a year. Chile has about 80 cases a year, out of 67. Million people is the population of those two countries. Right? So in other words, tiny numbers of people get sick with this, you see. So that's, again, a reason. That means it doesn't spread very well. And the reason for that, Pat, is that unlike COVID, you spread it when you're really sick, you know? And people are very sick and they won't go out and they won't spread it. With COVID, as you may remember, it was asymptomatic spread.
Asymptomatic, yeah. And you could be breathing on people, sharing a lift with them, sharing a
classroom
with them.
For 2 or 3 days, even. That's the big difference here. So that's why they reckon it won't be a pandemic, because
you have to be symptomatic
to spread it. Yeah, that's exactly the point. Yeah, that's the other thing.
Okay, so the WHO comes out and says this is not SARS-CoV-2, son off.
Yeah.
It's not anything like that. And they're probably absolutely right
they
in this
are
regard.
Exactly right, yeah. And it's their job to calm people down, Pat, in the times we live in, I suppose. And they made a very clear statement. There will not be a pandemic with this hantavirus, the WHO has said very clearly. So that's good to hear them saying that, isn't it, I guess, for us all.
Now, there are people being looked at in four different of the American states because of contacts that they may have had. What about the state of science in the states to kind of do this work?
Well, what's remarkable,
Pat, hollowed out.
Guess what the US has done, Pat, on this? They fired all the cruise ship inspectors from the CDC. Isn't that amazing? So the CDC are the big agency
that's
in America.
That's called karma, isn't it?
Well, this is a strange, I wouldn't say it's a coincidence. Now, these people wouldn't have inspected this ship necessarily, but that's an example, Pat, of how the CDC in particular in America has been, as you were saying, hollowed out. Imagine getting rid of the people who inspect cruise ships. Now, given that we know viruses spread on cruise ships like norovirus, that seems very misguided now in retrospect. Mm. I bet they reappoint those people quickly now and then in response to this.
But of course they may have gone on, got different jobs,
and not available anymore.
Yep. Now, the death rate, I mean, I know that when we were talking about this, you compared the relatively small number, tiny number, in fact, compared to, say, something like TB.
Yeah. Well, now the trouble is, but it is serious at one level. There's about a 40% mortality. You don't want to catch this.
That if you catch it, you're not looking good.
Because it's a nasty virus that goes into your lungs, like COVID in that sense, destroys the lung tissue, it attacks your blood cells, but you get what's called hemorrhagic fever. Blood appears in people's skin. It's a nasty disease to catch, by the way. So about 40% mortality. But again, it's very hard to catch, so that's why it's not that much of a concern. But yes, it's a nasty one if you do catch it.
And yeah, TB, how many people die every day?
Well, this is what I think, Pat, is ridiculous. 3,000 people die of TB every day. And here are now tragically 3 people. I'm not downplaying the tragedy for those people.
And TB is treatable.
It's treatable. And here, all over the media, we have a virus that's only killed 3 people, and yet 3,000 TB people die of TB every day. So there's a bit of an imbalance there, isn't there, Pat? Again?
Now, in your podcast this week, an interesting topic.
I can't remember. Which one is it, Pat? I've forgotten which one it is.
The science of sibling rivalry.
Oh, that's right, sibling rivalry. I recorded 3 of them a few weeks ago. Exactly right, yeah. What that's about is your birth order. And the second child in a family, Pat, earns less than the first child. Isn't that interesting? There's statistical evidence for this.
That's me.
Yeah, so the question is, why is that? Do you know what, Pat? They think it's infection, strangely, because the older child goes to school, brings an infection home, infects the baby, and the baby then is less, sort of develops in a slightly different way and maybe has less US earning potential. That's what I'm discussing on the podcast.
That's very, very, very interesting. All right, Luke, thank you very much for joining us. No worries about the hantavirus unless you happen to be on board the MV Hondius. Yeah. And hopefully the worst that will happen to you is you spend a lot of time in quarantine.
Exactly. That's it, exactly.
All right, loads of texts coming in. What happened to those armchair virology experts during COVID who were able to tell us exactly what was going to happen with COVID? Why aren't they able to tell us now that antivirus is practically zero chance of causing anything like the COVID epidemic? That's you.
That's what I've just said. But that's the point.
What's he talking about? He wasn't listening, obviously.
Yeah, that's exactly the point. Nothing to worry about here.
100% playing it down, just like COVID at the beginning. It probably will be the next pandemic.
No
Again,
evidence.
Someone else who wasn't listening.
No evidence for that at all.
The Pat Kenny Show. Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.